So it's not that the law is, quote, gone. It's that the blood speaks on your behalf because you have become the righteousness of God that's contained in Christ Jesus. That blood speaks for you. What he has done for you has changed you forever. You can't put it back, and you can look to that blood. It's not that you're doing everything right. It's not that you've always done or will ever do anything right. It's that blood that's speaking, that's been nailed to the cross. All those handwriting goes under the blood. Do you understand that? I mean, that's old-fashioned gospel stuff, but it's absolutely true, and I want you to get it this morning. Because I think if you don't really get that, you're going to find it hard to get into the fullness, which is where we're going. Okay? As I was meditating over these things, I happened to be reading something. And the writer was saying that he had the opportunity to talk to a federal judge and make some inquiry. And what he said was to the judge, what's the difference technically between commuting a sentence, what's called commutation, okay? A sentence being commuted, and a pardon. And the judge said there's a whole lot of difference. When a sentence is commuted by the president, okay, listen, the crime still stands. The crime is still stands. It's still on record. And the rights that were forfeited by the perpetrator of the crime are not restored. His sentence is commuted. Usually what that means is he is released with time served. Sometimes it just shortens his sentence. But normally, you go to all that trouble, the sentence is commuted. Usually, the guilty party, what'd I say? Guilty party. The guilty party is released from prison. However, the crime is still on the books. His rights are not fully restored because he was guilty being convicted of a crime. Okay, that's a commutation. That's what it means to commute a sentence. Then the judge went on to say, however, a pardon is very different. With a presidential pardon, it is as if the crime never happened. Listen, it doesn't matter whether you did it or not. Obviously, if there's a pardon, you would think there's a reason to say there was innocence there. However, that's not, according to the federal judge, that's not necessary at all. It doesn't matter whether you did it or whether you didn't do it. When the president pardons someone, it is as if the crime was never committed. It never happened. It is expunged from the record. All of the rights of the individual, voting rights, driving rights, gun rights, all of the rights of the citizen are fully and completely restored. The idea that the crime was committed or a trial took place, it's all expunged. It's as if you've never done it. And when I hear that, I hear one of my faith heroes back there decades ago, T.L. Osborne used to talk about justified like this. He would say justified means just as if I'd. Just as if I'd never done it, okay? The tag here is because as I look around, as I listen, having been around for a long time, around lots and lots and lots of believers over the years, I believe most people identify more with the idea that their crimes, their transgressions, their trespasses have been commuted, rather than being pardoned. Because they still think about them, they still talk about them, they still bring them up. When they come to God, often those things are still on their mind. In God's mind, the blood there on the cross has taken away the ordinances away from you, you can't trespass those ordinances and get the same sentence again, no matter what, because they've been pushed out of the way. That handwriting's been blotted away from you. And the body of sin has been, by Jesus, the circumcision of Christ. You think Jesus could get that done? Well, he can if you won't believe him. And it's hard. It's hard to get up every day and say, it doesn't matter who I was. It doesn't even matter. He has us all the transgression. He has forgiven us all the transgression. It doesn't even matter what's coming. And we say, you just can't wrap your mind around that. I mean, after all, you have that old thing. We have to tell them about sin, because even though the scriptures say we're supposed to not have a sin conscience, if we don't tell them about sin, they'll just do whatever they want to do. And you're looking at them going, well, that's pretty much what people do anyway, right? Unless there's punishment involved, people pretty much do whatever they want to do. But not only were these things removed, okay, they were replaced. Those ordinances, that volume of decrees or ordinances or restrictions, they have been removed from you, nailed to the cross. The blood speaks for you. You can't go there. But it's been replaced by a quote, law that is even higher and much more powerful. Paul said that what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of that sinful flesh, right? Okay, so the law couldn't ever get it done. You can't get it done by keeping the law. Nobody could. Jesus was the only one. Got that? However, you have been given a law. Jesus said very plainly, here's a new commandment I'm giving to you. John talks about it over and over again. Here's what you're going to do. That law, James called the royal law of love. It is the fulfillment of the commandment to love the Lord your God with all of your cardia, all of your intentions and motivations, your heart, all of your psuche, your desires and affections, all of your dianoia, your deep thoughts and meditation, and all of your issues, all of your determination. You will have that purposeful goodwill toward God. And then Jesus went on to say, I believe I'm quoting Mark 12, 30 and 31, Jesus went on to say, and the second is just like that, in the same manner as,